I'm going to read you this evening some of Paul's words from his letter to the Romans. From Romans 13, verses 8 to 14. Romans is a game of two halves. Chapters 1 to 11 are all the theology, Paul laying out what Christ has done for us. And chapters 12 to 16 are the application of that. And we're going to look at some of the application this evening. So I'm going to read verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not do wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Amen. Put on Christ. Verse 14. That's kind of what we're going to look at this evening. I'm not very good at pictures of things unless I can grasp what it really looks like in practice. So put on Christ is a great thing to say. I kind of see what it means, but I want to know what it's going to look like in my life. Because I want to be like Jesus. In Romans 1 to 11, Paul has been pointing out to his mainly Gentile readership what God has done through Christ in bringing Gentiles into his family with the Jews and making them one people. Right with God, free from sin and guilt, and that millstone round their neck of the Jewish law. And through baptism, they can identify with Christ's death and his resurrection. They can rise with him to new life, to live a glorious life of obedience. So to put on Christ is to put on the life of a man who gave himself for others, who gave himself up for you and me. Christ lived a life of giving, ultimately that led him to death. He gave everything he had so that we could live. So how will we live? Well, in chapter 12, Paul says, therefore. And if you see a therefore in Scripture, you need to work out what the therefore is there for. Therefore, let us look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. Therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed inwardly by the complete renewing of your mind. Then you will know the will of God, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The complete renewing of our minds. Total transformation taking place as we totally offer our lives, our bodies, our minds, our intellect, our hearts, our all to Christ. And he makes it new. And so we need to be transformed. We need a change of clothes. We need to put on Christ. So what does it mean? Well, I think for the first thing, it's about imitation. Not like an imitation Rolex watch, but imitating Christ. Looking at Christ, seeing what Christ did. Do you know, one of the word for putting on Christ, one of the ways you can legitimately interpret that Greek word is in the same way as we talk about putting on a funny voice putting on, you know, you're putting that on. That putting on is imitating something or someone. So to put on Christ, in one sense, is to imitate Christ. God is love. God is love. So if we want to be like God, if we want to follow God, we need to love how he loved. And he loved most... think of a word, and I don't have one written in my notes. God loved most fully in Christ. He sent Christ, who emptied himself of all but love. The God-man showed us love and showed us how to love. Do you know, sometimes evangelical Christians are accused of being cold and unloving, judgmental. And some Christians can be a little bit like turn or burn. And the message can come across as quite cold. Some Christians at the other end of the scale just want to do lots of good to help people. But they don't actually point anyone to Christ, the source of help, the source of love. And we need to be people who love as Christ loved. Because people were attracted to him. People came to him. He did, everywhere he went, he helped people. If you think of the 5,000 people on the mountains, well, 5,000 men and their wives and their children, thousands of people on the hillside. And they had no bread, and Jesus said to the disciples, go and find bread, go and feed them. Jesus had compassion on the people. And because of the compassion he had, people flocked to hear what he wanted to say. And as we imitate Christ, so we want to be people who people want to listen to. What about the woman who was caught in adultery? Yes, Jesus had a message, go and sin no more. Jesus transformed her life. But he loved. He said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. Zacchaeus. Nobody loved Zacchaeus, the small man from Jericho. Everyone thought it was rotten. Zacchaeus, he hated it so. He didn't have any friends. But Jesus said, I'm coming to visit you. I'm coming to share a meal at your house. Jesus showed him compassion. But Jesus wanted his life transformed. Jesus was driven by compassion even when he was faced with sin. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. And what's he going to say to that city? How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Compassion. Gethsemane. Jesus said, Lord, Father, if there's any other way that I can obey your will, that I can fulfill your commands, that I can do what you need doing without taking this cup of suffering, then make it so. But Father, I want what you want. I want your will. If we're going to be people who put on Christ, we need to imitate someone who wants to do the will of God. Jesus says the law and the prophets are summed up in two commandments, the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That love your neighbor as yourself, because it's not one of the Ten Commandments. It comes from Leviticus 19. And in the context of Romans 13, 1 to 8, this chapter is about how we relate to the world around you. Paul has talked in the first eight verses about paying taxes, obeying authorities. We want to be salt and light in this world, in the real world of people and leaders and politicians and places of despair, places of sin. We need to be the people that are Jesus, that take Jesus into every dark corner. Love. To put on Christ is to put on love. Love is the outworking of our calling as Christians. It's part of our witness, our evangelism. It helps people to want to listen to everything that we want to say. We want people to see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. So number one is to imitate Christ. That's how we put on Christ. We imitate him. Two is by loving, intentional love. You see, when we love others, That's what people see. That's what affects them. They see you, they see God. Do you know, it does seem quite obvious that Christians should be loving. But you know what? I'm pretty rubbish at it. No, I am. We're called to be not just... Do you know, Christians are not bad at being not bad. We're not bad at not doing wrong things. You know, we don't go around being horrible to people. And there's a sort of an unwritten rule in society that says as long as you don't harm anyone, it doesn't matter what you do, really. Just don't harm anyone else. And we can fall into that trap as well, of just not doing wrong things, not hurting anyone. But we're not called simply not to do bad. We're called to do good. We're called to go beyond not bad. And Paul says, we need to do it urgently. He says in verse 11, the hour has come. It's a phrase that Jesus used a lot, isn't it? The hour has come. My time has come. Well, that hour had come. The time of Christ is here. We're living in the end times. Paul was very aware that he was living in the end times. From the time that Jesus rose into heaven to the time when he comes back. Whenever that will be, these are the end times. And we can speculate on, well, you know, have we done enough? Have we evangelized all the people groups in the world? And have we done this? And have we seen this sign or that sign? Do you know, we can speculate, but the truth is, we don't know. Christ could come back at any time. The strength of Scripture is he will come like a thief in the night, and you will not know when it will be. And so we don't have much time left to finish the job. Apparently, David Cameron's speech at the Tory party conference this week, last week now, 15 times he talked about finishing the job. We have a job to finish. We need to finish the job of loving the world. So Paul says, wake up. For salvation is nearer now than it was when we first became believers. Wake up from your sleep. I have a nephew. And we play a game sometimes where I pretend to be asleep and my nephew comes and says, wake up! And I wake up. And then he says, go to sleep again. Okay. And I go to sleep again. And he says, wake up! And then Bear goes to sleep. And he says, wake up, Bear! And then you want a quiet afternoon snooze. And so you're just sitting in the chair and you're dozing off. That's a good time for a game, isn't it? Wake up! I didn't want to wake up then. Paul is saying, wake up! The night is over. The time for sleeping is done. Wake up! Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the daytime, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on Christ. Do you know we can't afford to waste a minute of our lives? I don't mean you can't afford to have rest and relaxation. We need rest and relaxation. We need downtime. It's important. And we actually need to perhaps schedule that in. But it's so easy to waste time. I waste far too much time. That's one of my vices, and I need to kick it. Actually, I need to nail that one and stop wasting my time. We can't afford to waste a minute of our lives because there's loving to be done. If we want to be intentional about imitating Christ, we have to work out, okay, what would Jesus do? What am I going to do? And plan it into our schedule, into every day. Be intentional about loving. Anything that doesn't contribute to obedience is wasting time. We have to work out, what am I actually going to do? When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said to the disciples, stay awake and keep watch. And of course they didn't. They went to sleep. The spirit is willing, said Jesus, but the flesh is weak. So can we conquer the flesh? We can in Christ. We can in Christ. So thirdly, we need to put off and then put on in order to conquer the flesh. There's a boys' brigade. I was never in the boys' brigade. I was a scout. Boys' brigade, Camp Grace. that says, "Dear Lord, do not make us like porridge, which is difficult to stir and slow to serve, but more like cornflakes, crisp, fresh, and ready to serve." Do we want to be crisp, fresh, and ready to serve? Because to be like that, we need more than good intentions. We need more than just saying, "Lord, I want to do some new things. I want to do this and I want to do that." We need a complete renewing of our minds. We need new clothes. We need to ask the Spirit to help us to put off the bad things. Addictions, time wasting, temper fits, all the things that you know trouble you over and over and over again. And you confess them and you say, "Lord, I'm really sorry, I messed up." And then God in His grace forgives us, but we mess up again and we mess up again. And He always forgives us. But you know, He wants us to be free. He wants us to know Him so much, to have His word, His truth, to sink into us, that we would be free from those things which drag us down every time. Paul says, "Leave no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Leave no provision. And so we not only need to put off, but we need to replace those desires with something so they don't keep happening over and over again. We need to ask the Spirit to show us what we can do to love other people, to love our neighbor, so that we can fulfill God's law. And we need to ask for His help, His strength to do it. We need to ask for Him to transform our minds, our wills, to give us the willpower, to give us the strength, to give us the determination, to give us the ability to do what He wants us to do. We need more than good intentions. My wife is probably tired of hearing me say this. I read a tweet by Nikki Gumbel months ago now, but I'm still using it because it's great. There's five frogs sitting on a log, and two of them decide to jump off. How many are left? Five. Because deciding and doing are two different things. You know, we need to serve. Filled upness will make us want to serve, but we still need to get out there and do it. God will supply, if we supply the sweat, God will supply the energy. He will enable us to do what we need to do. So fourthly and lastly, use the tools. Use what God has given you. Paul talks here in the end of verse 12 about putting on the armor of light to dispel the darkness. And of course, we know about the armor of God from Ephesians 6. But Paul also talks about the armor of God in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 10. Let me read you verses 6 to 10 of 1 Thessalonians 5. "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him." Whatever we're doing, we have the armor of God that we would love, that we would have faith, that we would be able to do everything that He needs us to do, because the day is here. The night is over. We don't want to live in the darkness anymore, hiding our lives. We want to live in His light. God promises to give us the willpower, the strength, the ability. We are protected by his armor. Lead us not into temptation, we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, you will not be tempted beyond your means. He keeps us strong. He gives us what we need. He protects our mind, our hearts, our footsteps, our words, if we'll submit to his authority. Imagine you're on a plane and the pilot becomes unconscious and they need somebody to land the plane and nobody wants to do it. And you step forward and you say, okay, if somebody will help me, I'll do it. And the control tower says, that's fine, we'll talk you through it. And so you sit in the cockpit and you put on the headphones and they say, you know, pull this down and push that up and push that button and rotate that dial. And eventually you land the plane. You didn't do it on your own, but you made yourself available. You made yourself willing and you made yourself receptive. You listened to what the control tower told you to do and you did it. And so that's how it is with God. We make ourselves available. We do what God wants us to do. And we obey. We actually get on and we do it. But we need his help. Do you know, it can be hard reaching others. It can be hard loving others. Jesus didn't find it easy either. We owe him our very lives. So we should ask God every day how we can love others. What does he want us to do? What does he want us to do in this community? What does he want us to do in our workplaces? What does he want us to do among our friends? We can look out with enthusiasm for every opportunity, building love into our daily routine, but with the Spirit's help to do it, we can put on Christ's nature in our lives. As we seek out from the Bible what Christ is like, what love is like, and seek to put it into practice, we can intentionally live out love, loving our neighbor as ourself. I want us to spend a little bit of time, just before we continue, before we move into communion, just in silence, perhaps with our eyes closed, thinking about what that might look like in our lives and asking him to transform us into his likeness. Asking him to transform our minds, transform our hearts, and transform our actions. Let's ask God to change us and ask God to show us what he wants for us to do, where he wants for us to go. Let's ask God for his guidance. We thank you that you promise to transform us. We thank you that you promise to give us everything we need for every good work. And we ask you to show us what you would have us do. Where you would have us go. Lord, we can do so many things and come up with all sorts of plans and schemes, but Lord Jesus, we want to know what you want for our lives. We want to know you. We want to put on Jesus. We want to wear you like clothing so that you will You will influence everything that we think. You will influence everything we say. You will influence everything we do. Lord, live your life through us, we ask. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.